Hi, how's it? How are you doing? Hope you've had an amazing sporting week, an amazing one. It certainly has been. Yes, it's that time of the week again. It's time for another installment of your weekly sports podcast, Talking Point, a forum where we engage and debate with our top citizen sports journalists who keep you in the loop every day on our print and online portals. And from time to time, we also line up some special guests. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Cromer. Certainly been a great week for women's sport worldwide, with millions, if not billions, of eyes focused on the Women's Football World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. And well done to our own Banyana, Tatiana Schoenmaker, in the pool at the World Champs. Back home, there's also the Netball World Cup in Cape Town. We'll touch briefly on those. And home the radar in on rugby again this week. Joining me in studio, a regular member of the Talking Point team, a great contributor to the show. Also, all our various media platforms around the Citizen. The head of Citizen Sport, welcome back, Jacques van der Westhuizen. Nice to have you with us, as always.
Thanks, Trevor. Hello, everybody.
Before we kick off on the rugby field, and don't for a minute think we're downplaying the netball or the soccer, but Jacques, women's sport has so much to be proud of. Banyana has done us proud, advanced to the last 16 of the Women's World Cup. Our netball girls, they're punching well above their weight at the Netball World Cup. Playoffs will be underway once we're on air already. And Tatiana Schoenmaker returning from the Aquatic World Championships with two medals, one being the historic gold in the 200 breaststroke and silver in the 100. I have to confess, in all my years as a sports journalist, I've never really taken an interest or can really say I've ever followed the sport of netball. But in the last week, I found myself watching the Netball World Cup games in Cape Town. Although I can't profess to actually know the laws of the game very well, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's fast-paced. It's buzzing with energy, high skill levels, elements of physicality. And some games, particularly those featuring the host South Africa, have really excited the spectators. Jacques, just very briefly, your thoughts on the week that's been an exceptional fortnight, in fact, for women's sport as a whole.
Absolutely, Trevor. It has been amazing. Like you say, from Tatiana Schoenmaker in the pool to the Netball World Cup and the Football World Cup in New Zealand and Australia. It's been fantastic. I can't remember when last we had so many of our women participating in global events and performing so well and flying the flag for our country. So it has been fantastic. And, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but they're all over the back pages of the newspapers and leading websites all through the country. So fantastic that our women are performing so well, and long may it continue.
Banyana up against the Netherlands on Sunday in the last 16 at the Women's World Cup. Best of luck. Who knows? Maybe this fairy tale yet to continue. Dare we dream? And a reminder, you can also catch more on Banyana's incredible feat and the Women's World Cup on the Pagati podcast, that's Balls to the Wall, also featured on our website at thecitizen.co.za or citizen.co.za. Back to the Oval Ball. Rugby back on the menu, the Rugby Championship done and dusted. The Springboks bridesmaids to the All Blacks in a truncated version of the annual Southern Hemisphere International Series. Less than a week away from the box squad announcement for the World Cup. That's where the focus lies. Just three matches away from the big one, Jacques. I love doing this to you. I'm going to put your Jacques Nienaber cap on ahead of this week's warm-up match against Argentina in Buenos Aires. Effectively a Bongi Mbonambi-led team, vastly different to that which scraped home. That was against Argentina at Ellis Park, loaded with what we like to term fringe players, but some of them surely hoping to still make a final impression against the Pumas.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, I know Jacques Nienaber and Rassie have said that they haven't finalized the World Cup squad yet, that they're still giving chances to certain players for them to show what they can do. And that comes up this Saturday against Argentina and Buenos Aires. It's a difficult one for a lot of those players because I think in the back of their minds they probably have a feeling that they maybe have lost out or missed out on a spot in that World Cup team. So what do they have to prove? Maybe a good performance will still get them in. We've heard the coaching team talk of giving minutes to as many players as possible. But after this weekend, that squad will be trimmed down and all the attention and focus will be on the World Cup and the two remaining warm-up matches. So I'm not quite sure what the coaching team are going to get out of this match. it's going to be a difficult one. It always is in Argentina. And there seems to be, an uncertainty whether you want to go all out with nothing on the line. It's a friendly match. It is still a test match. But what is there really to win and gain out of this? I think the biggest concern for me in this match and then the other two matches ahead of the World Cup is key players picking up injuries. I think that's a concern and will be a concern. I suppose Nienaber wants to see maybe one or two other guys still get a go. And in the case of a guy like Marnie Leebok, he's only played 6 test matches and he's likely to be one of the fly halves in that World Cup squad. But with only 6 tests behind his name, the more he plays, the better for the squad and the better for his confidence and his overall understanding of playing test rugby. So one or two things that they want to tick off this weekend, but a difficult one to go out full guns blazing in a friendly match.
We both mentioned there may be a few selection poses to ponder still over ahead of next week's World Cup squad announcement. Granted, but Jacques, I still feel, and I'm getting the feeling you do too, contrary to Jacques Nienaber's vehement denials in that regard, I still say the squad is picked, even ahead of this week's visit to Buenos Aires. It should be predominantly made up of hardened 2019 veterans and some younger form players. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think they know exactly who they want to take in that 33-man squad. I think they probably had an idea a couple of weeks and months ago already. The only concern would be injuries to certain players like Asiya, Andre Pollard, and then the concussion picked up by Grant Williams last weekend. And those were probably the only concerns, with Nienaber and Erasmus, if guys like Asiya or Pollard weren't going to be ready. But I feel that they're going to back them, whether they've played test matches or not going into the World Cup. They're going to back them. They know what their pedigree is. They know what they can offer. I think that squad is predominantly picked at this stage.
You allude to it, Colisi and Pollard, a huge risk factor is what most of the media sources have been saying through the week. They haven't actually touched a rugby ball in anger for a good few months now. How do you see that one actually, Jacques? We can't afford any bag carriers in a World Cup. And then do you leave talents like Dion Fourie, André Esterhazen and even Jean Klein at home? The buzzword surely then is versatility, I would say.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because, before the 2019 World Cup, Sia was also injured and didn't play. He did, however, play a match against Argentina before the squad was actually announced. So he had shown that he was ready and he was able to get onto a field of play before the squad was announced in 2019, having sat on the sidelines before that. And on this occasion, he would have not played anything before the squad is named. And we still don't even know if he's going to be ready for the other two warm-up matches against Wales and New Zealand. So it's going to be a huge risk on the part of the coaching team to take him. We all know how long it can take a player to get up to speed, get up to match fitness and readiness and get rid of all that rust that has settled in the time that he's been off the field. So it's really a tricky one. And the Springbok management team have always said that if a player doesn't train on a Monday before a Saturday test, he will not be considered for that test match. Well, in this case, a guy like Sia and Pollard, who I believe will be picked in the squad, would not have played for months, yet they will go to the World Cup. I understand the thinking behind picking them, but it is a huge gamble on their part. Coming to some of those other selections, Dion Fourie, André Esterhazen, interesting options there for the coaches. They are versatile players. They are guys who have done the business in South Africa, in the URC for the Stormers in Fourie's case, and in the English Premiership in Esterhazen's case. We'll get to it a bit later in this chat, but I think some of them will get into that squad, but others won't. Unfortunately, there are going to be a few guys who are going to miss out simply because they haven't played enough test rugby for the Springboks over the last 4 years.
It's a warm-up match, yes, against Argentina this weekend. I don't believe there is such a thing as a warm-up match. Rugby is rugby, and you've alluded to it as well. There's the potential for picking up injuries along the way in these warm-up matches, so one never knows. But anything else on your mind pertaining to this weekend's game, perhaps, Jacques?
No, not really. Like I said earlier, the biggest thing for me is, indeed, it is a warm-up match. It is a friendly. It is still a test match, but I don't really you know, it's difficult. We've all played sport, and I've played rugby at a young age and that, and it's difficult to get yourself up when you know nothing is on the line, except for a bit of pride and that sort of thing. There will be guys, like you said, there will be guys who will be hoping to maybe get a tick behind their names, even if not for the full squad. But maybe to get on a reserve list and that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's going to be very difficult. I wouldn't be surprised if this BOC team comes unstuck in Buenos Aires.
I've dragged my string back on my arrow. I'm going to throw the cat among the pigeons now, Jacques. Your speculation has always been very, very accurate, and I've kept a careful eye on it over the years. Go out on a limb. Here on Talking Point, name Jacques van der Westhuizen's World Cup squad of 33.
Okay, Trevor, so let's look at the squad. Before we get going, let me just say that I think it's going to be a conservative selection. I know Rossi and Jacques Nienaber prefer, you know, going with guys who have played a lot of test matches and who have the experience and who have done it before. And they've repeatedly said that, you know, somebody would have to really knock the door down to get into the squad, and they're not easily going to change. If a guy's there and he's done it before, they'll rather go with a player like that. So here's my 33 for the World Cup. It's going to be announced on Tuesday. Of course, it could be a little bit wrong, but these are the guys that I think they're going to go with. So let's start at the back. I think we're looking at an outside back grouping of Willy Leroux, Cheslin Kolbe, Makazola Mapimpi and Kurtley Orensa. Orensa, obviously one of the players who has really performed well recently, come in over the last 2 years and really bashed that door down. So he will be the newcomer there. I think Mapimpi might not be in the best of form, but a guy with a lot of experience, and he's been there and done it in a World Cup final. So I think they're going to go with him for this one as well. Then in the midfield, we're looking at Damien de Lende, Lucanya Andre Esterhazen, and Jesse Creel. I think Creel covers wing as well in an emergency. I think Esterhazen missed out 4 years ago, but I think he's going to be there on this occasion. Looking at the fly halves, obviously Andre Pollard, some injury concerns around him, but I think he's going to make it. They're going to back him. Marnie Leebok is the newcomer, a guy that really performed well in URC rugby, and he stepped up nicely in test rugby as well. I think he's going to be there. And then Damien Willemse will be the third-choice fly half slash fullback, probably the guy that's going to be the X factor on the bench. Among the scrum halves, I think they're going to go with Faf de Klerk, Kubus Reinach, and then hopefully, if he recovers well and so on, I think Grant Williams is going to be the pick there. A guy that brings a lot of spark and speed to the scrum half position, and somebody that can also play on the wing. So those are the three scrum halves I think they're going to go with. So this selection has 14 backline players. And let's look at the forwards now. 19 guys there that I think they're going to go with. Starting in the back row, we're looking at Sia Khaleesi to lead the side. Peter Steph de Toy. Quagga Smith as the backup to Khaleesi, Jasper Visa and Dwayne Vermeulen. In the lock position, I've got Eben Etzebet, Luat de Jager, Ergie Sneyman, Franco Mostert, who also covers loose forward. And then I think the toss-up is going to be between Marvin Ori and Jean Klein. I've got a feeling they're going to go with Jean Klein on this occasion. Newcomer there. Among the hookers, I've got Malcolm Marks, Bongi Mbonambi, and Joseph Dwebo. That means a guy like Dion Faria is going to miss out, unfortunately. I don't think they're prepared to take the risk of having a guy like Dion Faria as a third-choice hooker. It's a specialist position. Dion Faria has played there before. But in this case, I think Dwebo is going to be the guy. He's been in the mix for the last 2-3 years now, and they need a specialist. And I think Faria is possibly going to lose out. The front rows, fairly simple and basic. I think we all know who's going to be there. Kitshoff, Koch, Malherbe, Nyakani, Oxenche, and Thomas de Toy. I think they're going to take 6 front row forwards. Ox will hopefully get better soon, and fitness-wise, he should be fine by the time the World Cup starts. A guy who's also been in the mix for a while. So that's my 33-man squad. Fairly conservative, but I think also, you know, quite predictable. These guys, the Springbok management team aren't going to, you know, move away too much from the guys that have been there and done that. So a lot of the core from the 2019 squad. Obviously, there are going to be some disappointed players. Injuries are likely to hit as well at some stage, and there's likely also to be a reserve list of players. So those guys who don't make it, they can always get in at some stage of the competition, as we saw in 2019 with Damian Willemse and Thomas du Toit, who came in for Jesse Creel and Trevor Nyakani. That's it, Trevor. Looking forward to the squad announcement this Tuesday. I hope everybody else is as excited as I am.
And that's where we'll leave it. And post-World Cup, if there's a vacancy on the selection committee, please apply, Jacques. Like in any selection process, as much as one wants to, one cannot pick everyone. It's as simple as that, really. But before we do go, it's our popular flop and gold star of the week feature. My flop of the week, it's the Brazilian women's football team. Now, despite all the high expectations and all the hype surrounding the Brazilians failing to make it out of the group stage of the Women's World Cup after being held to a goalless draw by the reggae girls, that's Jamaica. And that is my flop of the week. It's the Brazilian women's football team. My gold star of this week, well, it goes to a few contenders again, but not difficult to decide. I'm going to narrow it down. Surprise, surprise. Banyana, banyana. Really giving our troubled country something to rejoice about, defying the odds to make it into the knockout stages of the Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. Also along with the Netball Proteas too, elevating women's sport to a much higher plane. So well done, girls. Jacques, on your side.
Yeah, Trevor, I can't disagree with you. I'm going with Banyana Banyana. They were fantastic in their last group game win. They've been great all tournament, actually. If things had gone a little bit better for them, they could have had three wins there at the World Cup in their group. So very chuffed for them. I hope they can do well in the next round. It's a big match against the Netherlands on Sunday. But they've shown us what they can do, and maybe they surprise us again. So well done to them. And all the best to them, and our netball girls as well have also raised the bar and given us plenty to cheer about. My flop of the week is not really so pertaining to South African sports in that, but I'm going to go with Australian rugby and Eddie Jones. Not that it really matters to us. Seeing the Aussies struggle and battle in rugby is something that a lot of people will be pleased about. But goodness me, they've taken a few steps backwards with the appointment of Eddie Jones again. And I must be, you know, those bosses there in Australian rugby must be wondering what the heck they have done. They're just a couple of weeks out from the World Cup, and that Australian team looks all out of it and with no real plan in that. And Eddie Jones must also be wondering what he's going to do to be competitive at the Rugby World Cup. They really have been a big flop under him.
Just as an aside to that before we close off, Jacques, is modern rugby perhaps completely overtaken Eddie Jones?
It might have. There will be a lot of people that will maybe say the same thing about Jake White at the Bulls. Great coaches and that, but have they maybe, you know, been in the game for too long and not listened to some younger men, guys who have adapted and changed more quickly? If you look at the way some other teams are playing and how Australia and the Bulls have played in recent times, some will say that. But definitely Eddie Jones doesn't seem to quite know how to get that Australian team fired up. Having said that, he might not have great players at the moment either. We all know that the South Africans, the Springboks have struggled in the past as well at certain times. But it's a difficult one, Trevor, to put, to actually put your finger on or whatever. Is it Eddie Jones? Is it the quality of players? Is it the competition that they've had without the Springboks or the South Africans playing Super Rugby? There could be a number of factors. But I don't think the Australians are going to be too much of a force at this World Cup, and that would be a surprise.
And that's where we wrap it. You have yourself a great sporting week with the Citizen as your companion, both online and in print. Jacques van der Westhuizen, Head of Citizen Sport, thanks again, as always, for joining us. Always a treat to chat to you and playing Springbok Selector this week. My name's Trevor Kramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Why not follow Citizen News at Iono FM? You'll also find the podcast on the Citizen YouTube account. Remember, as always, don't wait for the opportunity. Go out there and create it. May all your days be sporting days. Cheers. Have a good one.